Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton with Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I want to pass along some encouragement before our radio program today. In Isaiah 41:10, the Lord says to the prophet, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." There's obviously a great deal of assurance and comfort in that verse, especially in these difficult times. But I want to highlight one phrase in particular, God's righteous right hand. God's right hand stands for his power and divine control. It's also the evidence of his fulfilled promises. So when he tells us that he will be there to help us in times of trouble, we can count on it. Place your hope in the presence, authority, and strength of our God, because he sent his only son just for you. With that, let's begin.
Welcome to Family Talk, a division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, wishing you a Happy New Year as we continue this first week of 2021. Sounds great, doesn't it? On behalf of Dr. Dobson, who is with his lovely wife Shirley out in California, enjoying some time together while he continues writing, we want to thank you for listening and making us a part of your day. We pray that your Christmas season was one of peace and hope and filled with joy, with the promise of a new year. Today on the program, we present an issue that has always been critical for this ministry, God's gift of holy matrimony, marriage. It's no surprise that last year, with the ongoing pandemic, many relationships have been pushed to the brink. Financial hardships and long periods of isolation and close quarters have created new tension between husbands and wives. Are you struggling in this area? Or maybe you know a couple dealing with this as well? Then I hope you'll listen as now we present a fascinating conversation from the archive that Dr. Dobson had with the late Dr. Gary Smalley. Gary was an incredible man of God with a heart for strengthening marriages. During his 40 years of ministry, he wrote over 60 books, selling some 12 million copies. Gary lived out the principles he taught through his 50-plus years of marriage to his wife, Norma. Gary passed away in 2016, but his legacy continues today through the Smalley Institute. Today's conversation focuses on how spouses can show one another grace and honor, especially when conflict arises. This lesson bears repeating. As we begin, Dr. Smalley and Dr. Dobson talk about that pesky little thing that can infect and destroy a relationship. This is a highly insightful discussion. With that, let's begin on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Let's imagine that we have a unity candle here that you would see at a typical wedding. You have the two smaller candles on the outside that are lit already, and then you have the one center candle that's not lit. So after the couple does their vows and prays, they usually get off their knees, and the minister sets aside, and they go up, and they take each one of them, the man and the woman takes a candle, and they light the center one, and then they blow their candles out, you know, and I've done a number of weddings, so I'm always nervous it's going to catch her veil on fire or something. But then and then when they're blown out, they only have one candle now. Here's what I've been realizing this last year. The one candle that's lit is the unity candle, because now the man has left his father and his mother, and he's cleaving with his wife, which means he's gluing with her, and the two of them are becoming one. Now, here's what we've realized with the marriage research in the last year. The problem with couples, and the average divorce is between 5 and 7 years after marriage, but the average couple gets married, and they still remain singles. They forget that they're married. So what they do is they include the I and the me in their conversations a lot instead of the we. We're a team now. We're not singles anymore. But if they remain singles, they get infected with these four germs. That's how this happens. Hmm. And they remain singles by having ordinary arguments about ordinary things, money, sex, kids, in-laws, job, cars, whatever it is, okay? Just ordinary stuff. But what they do is they approach every argument as a single, and they try to win their position, which is remaining a single. And that infects them with these germs.
And it interferes with intimacy.
And it interferes
intimacy
with intimacy.
Intimacy is the most satisfying aspect of a good marriage.
Absolutely.
And it is eluding many people.
Just think of this comment that Gary Oliver taught me 5 years ago. All arguments are doorways to intimacy, to oneness. But if a couple doesn't see it as a doorway, they tend to avoid the argument. Or they use an argument in a destructive way. So the four germs are all destructive ways of arguing, communicating in a marriage, which infect the marriage. And the disease is anger, but the infections are these. Withdrawing during an argument, it's almost always the male, because we get easily flooded with too many words, and we don't like to argue or fight without rules. And so women can fight without rules, but we don't like that, so we withdraw. That's a germ, and it causes the disease of anger for both people. And that's what kills love. That's why the divorce rate between 5 and 7 years is so significant. Second one is escalation. You start yelling at each other, saying things you don't really mean, shouldn't say, causes anger. In fact, a man's heart rate goes up almost twice as fast as a woman's. When a man hits 100 beats a minute, he loses his ability to continue the argument rationally. So he either withdraws or becomes sometimes verbally or even physically abusive. So that's a dangerous thing. Third one is the number one killer of marriages in America today. Anytime you belittle your mate or you come across a superior, you say and do things that imply that your mate is inferior to you, little cut downs, and this is usually during an argument. Listen to how fascinating, and you may have heard this before, but Dr. John Gottman has studied couples over a weekend where they videotape everything that goes on over the weekend. Yeah. There's a muscle on a man's face right here. It's right here on the edge of his mouth. And when it goes up with his eyes rolling a little bit.
Sort of an Elvis Presley
muscle. Yeah, exactly. It goes up. During a conversation with his wife during the day, they have actually recorded how many times that happens during the day. They have a scientific name for that muscle, you know, but I can never remember it. But anyway, they can tell a woman what kind of diseases she will have 3 years later, depending on the number of times that muscle goes up during the day. Wow. And it's not just men. I mean, women are great at this. I mean, they can put us down so fast. And that is the most destructive disease, which is the exact opposite of the major commandment in Scripture of considering others to be more valuable than you consider yourself.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me, the power of words.
Yeah.
They're so easy to say.
Yeah.
You don't even have to think much to say these terribly powerful words.
Yeah.
And in fact, God himself identified himself with the word.
Exactly.
And the things that you say in one of those moments when your heart rate is over 100 can be just thrown out there so quickly and not even really meant, but they're remembered for a lifetime.
Sure they are. Right. And that's a major, major damage to that relationship. And if it's over and over and over, like a lot of women don't realize every time they say, would you put your seatbelt on? You know, those little kind of demeaning statements, parenting that husband, oftentimes the average woman has no idea that that means I'm infecting our relationship with the worst germ that you can infect it with, which is the germ of belittling.
It diminishes the personhood of the individual.
And the hurt that it causes, and oftentimes not discussed, because it's hard to discuss that. If you do, you'll escalate or withdraw. And then there's the germ, which is really powerful. My son Greg is a psychologist also. He believes this is the biggest germ from his counseling experience. And he says it's when a couple starts seeing more negative in their mate than is actually there. So in other words, human nature anyway, you know how we like bad news and stuff all the time? Mm. Well, when you see too much negative in your mate, the more negative you see, the more you will see. Which is it's a downward cycle because it's called confirmation bias. Whatever you believe about your mate, you both see and hear, even if it isn't true.
I'm not sure if I understand. When you say he sees more negative, he sees characteristics that bother him about the other person.
Exactly. And then they exaggerate them, And then the more they exaggerate these negative things, they actually believe, like, for example, if we're going to buy one of those new Volkswagen Bugs, we see them everywhere because it's got selective perception. Well, when a woman thinks her husband is overly negative, then actually what it really is, she'll see it bigger and bigger continually.
Okay, those are the four.
Those are the four
viruses, four
right.
bugs,
exactly.
if you will.
Right.
Let's talk about the three antibiotics.
Right. What it is, here are the three antibiotics. The skill of honor, in fact, there's three things you do with the skill of honor. My mate's very valuable, just like autographed by God. Hmm. Okay, so they're very valuable. And the second thing you do is you make a list of all the things that are very valuable about your mate. In other words, this has been proven scientifically that if you start a written list of the positive things about your mate and you keep that list going for years, that alone is enough to sustain you during any crisis in marriage.
Hmm.
Dr. John Gottman found that. Well, what we found also is one researcher in one of the universities in the East found that when he took conflicted couples and gave them various assignments, he found that if he got couples just to make a list and to remind each other of this list on a regular basis of how positive you are as my mate, you know, to share the list with each other, he found that 70% of the time, if they only made the list and reviewed it and kept it going, those couples improved significantly and stayed in love readily.
Okay, that's the second point under the first
antibiotic. Yeah, that's true.
The third point under the first antibiotic
is you tell your mate verbally. You express it either in writing or you say it on a regular basis of how valuable that person is. And that concept of honor is what the scripture says is considering others is really more valuable than we consider ourselves. It's really Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, preferring one another in honor.
See, that's the other end of the continuum between what you talked about a minute ago of diminishing the personhood of the other individual.
And so that one skill eliminates the worst germ in relationships, okay? The second skill is we call love talk, L-U-V. And that's listen, understand, and validate. Now, I got this from Dr. Stanley. And then I realized one day when I was going to a drive-through restaurant, McDonald's, Wendy's, one of those, okay, that's exactly what they do. Now, they have spent millions of dollars researching how to have good relationship with their customers and not having customers divorcing them. What do they do? They do exactly what Scott Stanley found is the best communication in the world to eliminate these four germs in marriage. They do the exact same thing at McDonald's. In other words, you drive up there, somebody always says, welcome to McDonald's, can I take your order? That's very honoring. Mm. And then you say, I want a hamburger, fry, and a Diet Coke, okay? And then they always say, let me see if I'm hearing you right. They don't say those words, but they say, you want a hamburger, a fry, and a Diet Coke. And then you say, yes. And then you go forward. Now, if they would have said, if you want a child's meal and a Diet Coke, you say, no, I didn't say that. And then if they say, you never hear them say, excuse me, sir, I'm looking in that round mirror over there, see, and I see you're a pretty good sized person. You know, are you sure you want a double cheeseburger, sir? You know, they don't say that because that would be invalidating. That would be belittling.
I hate to mess up your illustration, but I can't understand those little speakers that they talk on anyway.
That's right. But the point is they don't lose their customers by giving their opinion. They listen, they validate.
Give you what you want.
And they give you what you want. And if you don't get what you want, what do they always do? I'm sorry, let me redo that order. They're very careful. Guess what we do in marriage, though? It all centers around mainly opinions. But let's say when we do in marriage, what happens is that your mate gives you an opinion about something you're arguing about. What's the typical couple do? They belittle one another's opinion. Yeah. They express by either facial or verbal ways of saying, don't you realize how smart I am and how right I am?
And how dumb
and
you
yes,
are.
Yes, how inferior you are. Can't you get it? When we operate that way, we get infected. But if you use the method that Scott Stanley taught me, which my wife and I have been using for 5 years, and it's literally revolutionized our own discussions on arguments, and you can stop a teenager dead in their tracks in an argument by using the method, and they don't even need to know what you're doing.
Which is to affirm them, to listen.
To listen, to repeat back what they're saying. You don't have to like what they're saying. You don't have to agree with what they're saying. All you do is use the method. And you know what I did? I guess I can tell this. About a month ago with Norma, she and I were having an argument about how we're going to reorganize our business. It's been a little touchy. Have you ever have any kind of touchy discussions with Shirley?
No, we never have any touchy discussions.
So we were having this. Okay, we were driving from Keystone down to Denver to get on the airport. So we had a couple hours drive. I decided to use this method without her knowing what I was doing and without me doing my part. In other words, when you really use this right, you exchange with each other. We started in Keystone. I did nothing but listen to her for 2 hours and repeat back what she was saying, clarify what she was saying. And Jim, I was totally amazed that she answered her own argument with some of the best solutions I've ever heard in my life.
She didn't need you to
She didn't need me. And I affirmed her solutions because I liked them. And it taught me again that oftentimes if you just listen and understand a person— It's amazing.
The only thing Shirley and I fight over is the thermostat. And I don't know how we're going to get around that one. She says, I'm cold, I'm turning it up. Now, also I say, I see, you're cold. But we, I'm not sure we can solve that one quite as easily.
Yeah, but you know what's fun is when you both hear each other and you both understand each other and you both validate each other, because the unity candle is really an expression of that. Mm. What happens is our mind comes up with some of the greatest solutions to include both of us. That's really the intimacy in a marriage, is when you come up with a solution that you both like. So use your brain to do that. I love it. It's been amazing.
Okay, we have one more antibiotic coming.
Yes, one more antibiotic. According to the research experts, almost all arguments are caused because people perceive their needs not going to be met. It's either it's not being met or it's perceived not to be met. So what we have discovered is that people have these relational needs deep in their heart. If they don't think they're going to be met, they even get into arguments. It's like the surface thing we're arguing about has really nothing to do with my deeper need. For example, my wife has a tremendous need to be organized and for our home to be in order and for us to abide by all the rules in life. Like, she doesn't like to park in a place that says, even hints that we shouldn't be parking there. Where my personality can basically park anywhere. And so, you know, this, like Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri has an employee parking lot. Well, I know the owners real well, so they've told me to park there. Well, Norma can't do that because it says sticker parking only. So I had to go to the owners eventually and get a sticker and stick on my rearview mirror, you know, kind of thing, to be able to do that. Well, Norma's need is order and regularity and precision a lot of times. It's not mine. So we'll argue about a lot of things that have nothing to do with what we're arguing about. It's all about her need to be in order. So since I know that's her biggest need, she knows my biggest need is to do fun things with other people, to talk and do fun things with people. Since she knows that's my need, she falls over herself to make sure that need is met in my life.
You know, when you think about that unity candle, it's really incredible that you can bring these two different personalities together.
Exactly.
And that they can mesh with one another.
And the fun thing is we can use our brain that God gave us to find out what her need is. She finds out what my need is. And we don't have to hassle each other over these trivial arguments that we had for years, because we really are attending. Oh, here's another great statistic. They found that what separates couples who are divorced and couples who are happily married is 20 minutes a day of attending to each other's needs. Hmm. Just 20 minutes. Everybody has 20 minutes. Hmm. And if you know what that need is and you attend to it, it's amazing. Hmm. So here again, if I know what infects my marriage, incidentally, Norma and I do not escalate anymore. Never. Hmm. When we start, which I'm the one that usually wants to start, what happens is that one of us remembers that this is a germ, and so we don't do it anymore. And we never do it on vacation.
Those hot buttons, you know, those things that really set us off.
Exactly.
When you see those coming, what do you do?
Well, one of us says time out. And we both say to each other from time to time, that's not acceptable. And so we don't go that way. Now, another thing Norma does, which has really been powerful for my life, is we have three people in Branson who are like our 911 group. And when we get into a serious discussion that we can't solve on our own, she'll say, why don't we call our 911 group and we get together, use the same method, but it's people who love us, and we do it in front of people. So it's like a small group. It's one of our small groups.
And you have three of those.
Yeah, we have three people. I'm in three different small groups.
You mean every week you're with?
No, I'm not in every week in every group, but I have groups. I'm training leaders to have small groups. Yeah. So I'm in small groups with Norma, and we open our life up and tell them the struggles we're going through. We're as normal as every other couple. I mean, every couple goes through pretty similar things, and so we're able to be as transparent as we need to be because we're, you know, we're like everybody
and
else.
You have confidence that that won't be shared with anybody and won't be.
They can share it with you. I make my living sharing that. That's how I make my living. I mean, all my books talk about my screw ups. So, you know, that's what I do. And you know what? You'd think I'd get this stuff down someday, and you know what? I got to be reminded, and it's amazing. It's
okay. What would you say, Gary, to a young couple? They've just been married a week or two, and they haven't had all these problems yet. They're still on the honeymoon emotionally.
Right.
And they want to live together forever. They want their marriage to have intimacy. They want to do the right things. Where do they start?
I would say that they can't let another month go by without finding the great materials that are available. Yeah. They got to get training, and they got to get into a mentor group, small group, and keep that training going. They'll be amazed. Take my own son, Michael, a counseling therapist, graduated from Wheaton. 18 hours after he got wedded, he wasn't speaking to his wife.
Isn't that interesting?
They were so locked in an argument.
Isn't that always amazes me that you can go through the courtship and spend 18 hours a day looking at each other's eyes, and you're just so in love you can hardly bear
exactly.
it. Right. And you get married, and then you find out some things you hadn't stumbled over yet.
1 year, they argued like cats and dogs, but never said a thing to me. And he was embarrassed. He was grieved. He didn't know what direction it was going to go. And it was Scott Stanley's training, the prep stuff, you know, the speaker listener, which is really what I call the drive-through listening, the love talk, changed their marriage.
You get your stuff out of the Word, and if it is consistent with what you find there, you can be pretty sure that that's going to be right.
That's 1 Timothy 6:3. Is it consistent with what Jesus taught, and will it lead to godly living? It's one of my favorite verses.
Is it still possible to live together for a lifetime?
Absolutely. There's so much. Any couple, and in fact, we even have our own counseling center at our center now with licensed counselors. We see some of the most impossible situations turn right around. So there's hope for, I don't care what couple, whatever they're dealing with, I know there's hope today.
Now, you know, I would like to offer that hope to those who are listening to us now and whose marriages are in serious trouble. I mean, there are a lot of them out there, and they've contemplated divorce. They see no way out. There is hope for those folks. You know, I taught a Sunday school class back in the 70s and early 80s, I think for 12, 14 years. It was a big class, and it was made up of young married couples. There were as many as 100, 150 people there. And out of that class, there were about 20 people who were threatened with the most serious marital difficulties, primarily infidelity. And most of those people survived as a, as a couple, and most of them are still married today. So it is possible.
Sure.
To face those things and to overcome them.
So. But when you're in the middle of them or you're easing into them, it seems so impossible.
Gary, it's always fun to have you here.
Thank you.
You're a good man.
I love it.
Tell Norma I'm mad at her for not coming. We'll catch it next time.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to have to go back to Branson. I love that place.
You're welcome anytime.
Last time I was there, you took me to the most incredible fishing hole I've ever seen in
Dogwood
my life.
Dogwood Canyon. Huh. Right.
Is that open to the public?
Absolutely.
Now? Is it really?
Yep. Yep. And it's more than just fishing now. It's hiking, biking.
Well, come back and see us again,
Gary. Okay, thank
you
very much.
That's some incredible wisdom laid out in this classic Family Talk broadcast. This is Dr. Tim Clinton again. I want to echo what Gary and Dr. Dobson were just saying. Marriage is hard. Difficulties will come. But disagreements and times of disharmony don't need to end in divorce. Fight for your relationship. It'll be worth it in the end. If you'd like to learn more about the late Gary Smalley or pick up other useful resources, go to drjamesdobson.org. drjamesdobson.org. Once there, on today's broadcast page, you'll discover more about the Smalley Institute and the work of this godly man. Go now to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. That's all the time we have for today. Join us again tomorrow for more of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Have a blessed day.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hello, everyone. Roger Marsh here for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. The news comes in all shapes, sizes, and formats these days, but how do you cut through all the noise and get to the heart of the matters that affect your family? Well, come to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk and sign up for Dr. Dobson's monthly newsletter. You'll find clarity on tough issues, encouragement for daily life, and trusted principles to help you build strong, healthy, and connected families. Go to drjamesdobson.org and sign up today. That's drjamesdobson.org.